Another road game, another road win as Auburn goes into Oxford and takes down the Rebels 92-82. Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Talk about this big road win, another conference win in general, another win on a Saturday, another win at 1 o'clock. It doesn't matter. Whatever time, whatever day, whatever place we play, seems like Auburn's just going to go in there and handle business and get it done. We're going to dive into the game shortly, but we got to give a shout out to thebarnauburn.com. Sign up today. Get $25 off your annual membership. The game thread yesterday at the Barn was electric. You can come be a part of that. You can be a part of the Barn takeovers. Get it, the recruiting information, team information, hoops information. We got a little bit of it all. And then just join the community and have some fun at the same time. So check us out, thebarnauburn.com. Guys, I had been a little bit concerned. And some of this is just probably PTSD or just, you know, as an Auburn fan, you almost kind of expect something to go wrong eventually. But, you know, you had a little bit of a cold shooting slump, like a little bit of a shooting slump over the last, you know, two or three games. Just felt sometimes maybe we're a little bit clunky on offense. Even though you scored 87 points, I think the last game, a lot of that was just based off your defense. You're getting tons of turnovers, tons of rebounds, offensive rebounds, and being able to get a bunch of shots up and just the volume of shots, you end up, you know, scoring a bunch of points against LSU. But tonight or last night, the guys just went off. They just shot the ball like you expected them to shoot the ball. They were just really, really good. And it makes you feel, if you had any bit of concern whatsoever, this should quell that concern tonight or last night. You go 14 of 28, so 50% from three. And everybody pretty much hit threes. Denver, the one you really wanted to see start shooting it a little bit better. He didn't miss one in the first half. I think he was 3 of 3 in the first half, and then he hit a big, big one late to go 4 of 7 from three. Jani hit 2 threes. He was 2 of 2 from three. If you remember, he hit the little step back three at the buzzer and then turned around and let the fans know about it and caught a few birds. I thought that was kind of funny. Caught a few birds too, and probably deservedly so. He got right up in their grill and let them know about it after he hit that little step back. It was really pretty. Chad was 4 of 6 from three. Miles was 3 of 6 from three. I mean, these guys were just lights out in another man's arena, going off in another man's arena. I love it. I love it. I love whenever you're shooting. I love it when you don't allow the location to affect your shooting. When you can go in and you just light it up. You're just going to go fill it up. No matter what happens, you're going to go shoot the ball well. That's what I love about this team so dadgum much. Man, they can shoot the basketball, and that excites me to no end, because when you can shoot, when you have guards that can shoot the basketball, you can't leave anybody open. The space is just incredible that you can create, because they can't pack it in and dare you, because if you do that, they're just going to pick you apart. They're going to just absolutely light you up. You've got to step out. You got to get in their face. And then that just leaves your big guys down low, your Cheneys, your obviously Jani, even Dylan leaves those guys opportunities to clean up and score and get offensive rebounds and putbacks and things like that. It's just, boy, oh boy, when this offense is rolling, it is very, very tough to stop. And they did that. They go into Ole Miss, go into Oxford. They were fired up. It was they kept showing it, the third largest crowd in the history of Ole Miss basketball. And I'm trying to figure out how it was only the third. I mean, how many times do they get number one coming into town? And Auburn, I know, brought a ton of fans. You could hear them on the TV as well. So what happened? Where was the rest of the folks? How is that not number one? But, yeah, they kept hyping it up. They were standing in line, showed all their pregame, you know, fans getting hyped up. They even had their own cool little cute little shirts that said something like roundabouts and chicken fingers and basketball or some garbage, something like that, that didn't make any sense to, I assume, to anybody other than people that go to school there. So they were fired up. This was a big one. This was one that was circled, and Auburn just never let them up. Auburn never let them into the game. If I had to have a theme for this game, I would say Auburn answered the call. Every single time Ole Miss tried to make a run, and they're good. Like, don't get me wrong. They're really good. I mean, they had the dude, one dude, Padula, who went off. He scored like 30 points. He could not miss. We couldn't stay in front of him. He was very, very good last night. Again, 29 points. He's really, really good. There's just no doubt. He's a transfer, I think, from Virginia Tech. They were talking about it because Miles Kelly and Padula were both ACC transfers coming to the SEC and both playing at a very, very high level. I mean, they're good, man. You got Jay Brakefield. You got Matthew Morrell. All those dudes that have played basketball for years and years. They're a very old, experienced team. They're good. I mean, they went into Tuscaloosa and pretty much handled Alabama. But every time they tried to go on a run, Auburn would hit a big shot. Every time they would answer the call, it was crazy. It was multiple people. That's what was crazy. It wasn't like Auburn was answering Padula with like another guy, like the one singular guy, like Miles Kelly. It wasn't like a duel. He'd hit a big shot, they'd go down. Chad Baker Mazzara would make a big play, a big and one, you know, drive to the basket, get hammered, and then make the free throw. Or Miles Kelly would hit a big three in the corner. Miles Kelly had a quick little – they got really tight one time, and Miles Kelly hit a three, and then the next possession got a stop on their end, went down, got fouled, hit both free throws. I mean, it was like that every single time every time it would get down to like 2 points, you know, 2 points, 1 point, and then boom, Auburn would go on a 5-point run just like that, just right out of the gate. They'd answer the call every single time. The game never really felt – it never really felt like, even though the margins got close at times, it never really felt like Ole Miss could do enough on the defensive side, get enough stops. That's what it felt like. It didn't feel like they could stop us enough to be able to make a real run. It just did, to maybe even take the lead. Like, it just didn't – it never really felt that way. You felt like somebody was going to make a play. Somebody was going to hit a shot. Somebody was going to get fouled and get to the line. They just could not stop us. And it got – at one point in time, it got just a little bit hairy because Padula was just going off and scoring like on every possession. But then we'd go back down and score. And so it was like – he'd score and then we'd erase it. He'd hit a three. One of our guys would hit a three. They just answered it, man. Every single time that Ole Miss made a charge, very, very good basketball team, we would answer the call and go right back up 5 or 6 points. Ended up 10 points, and it honestly felt like a 10-point game. It honestly felt like it was it was a 10-point difference in the game. Like, it felt like we were 10 points better just from watching the game. I know that you got some free throws late to get it there. You got a technical late that gave you two free throws and the ball to close it out. Funny thing that happened at the end, at one point in time on that technical, Miles goes up there and makes the first one, but they don't realize it's a technical, and the Ole Miss guys are on the line, like they're in the lane. Well, they had to wave the whole basket off because the technical foul, he's shooting by himself. So they had to wave the whole basket off. So it doesn't even count. He made the first one, doesn't even count, but he makes the next two. He's so good. He's what a great pickup late Miles Kelly's been, and he is every bit as advertised. And boy, if this extra year of eligibility thing goes through and you can keep him for another year, that's as good as getting any five-star portal out of the five-star guy out of the portal as you can get. I mean, he's really, really good. I want to talk about Dylan for a second. Dylan, this is one thing I've accepted Okay. And it was yesterday. This is what I've accepted about Dylan. You are going to get in every single game the most frustrating moment in a game is going to be Dylan. And then he's going to have one of the most spectacular moments of the game in every single game. So you have to know that going in. You're going to live, it's an adventure. You're going to be frustrated and elated all in the same game, every single game. Like there's going to be, he's going to have a foul that's going to make you want to throw a solid object through glass. He's going to have a turnover, or he's going to do something that's going to make you want to break furniture, punch a baby. He's going to make you want to do something like extreme. Okay. And then he's going to get a rebound where you're like, what in the heck? How did he do that? Or he's going to catch an alley-oop, or he's going to get a putback, or he's going to go, he's going to go, where is he? Sorry. Or he's going to go 4 or 5 from the line, which is crazy. He's going to do something like that on both ends every single game. And so, like, I at some point in time, I'm like, get him off the court, you know, like, just get him off the court. Like, there was a possession, like, the first 5 minutes of the second half, it was a disaster. It was either a turnover, a foul, or a possession where he just got completely abused on the offensive end. It was something like that. It was something like that for the first 5 minutes. Like, we went into half with a pretty big lead, and then it came out in the first 4 or 5 minutes. It was completely erased, and it was almost solely on Dylan. But then late, he gets an offensive rebound and kicks it out for them to hit a three that was one of those answering the call moments where we stopped a run. And he did that over and over. And then at the end of the game, they knew if they could foul Dylan and go to the line, that's almost like a turnover in theory. He just made all the free throws. He just made all of them. He hit 4 in a row. No, he didn't. I apologize. Yeah, I think he did. I think he hit 4 in a row at one point in time. It's crazy, man. You have to go. Yeah, that's what it was. He did hit his last 4 in a row, I think, or maybe his last 3 in a row. He got fouled. Yes, he had 2. He made the first one, missed the second one. Then he got fouled on an and one, made it. Then he got fouled late when they were trying to, you know, foul to conserve time. And he makes both of those clutch ones at the end. We hit some really clutch free throws at the end. Jani hit a couple at the end when he had to. Tahad hit a couple at the end when he had to. They shot all the things that you kind of complained about a little bit, even though we're winning, complained about at the end of maybe like the Georgia game, hitting clutch free throws at the end on the road. They did it. They did it at Ole Miss. Nobody missed. Nobody missed in crunch time at the end of those games when you got to hit your free throws. Nobody missed. But it is literally an adventure with Dylan, and it's so much fun because it's so frustrating and so much fun all at the same time, because there's no doubt at some point in the game he's going to make you want to do something violent in anger. You are going to be raging in anger at some point in the game at him, and then he is going to do something that is going to make you so excited, so elated, and that will all happen in literally every single game. He'll do it once in every single game. He may do it multiple times on both sides in every single game, but at least once. And I've come to accept that. When the bad happens, you just have to know something electric is going to happen. You just have to know that it's going to happen when Dylan's on the floor. It's crazy. He's got to be one of the more exciting sixth men. I guess he's not even a sixth man. He starts a lot. But he's technically, you know, kind of that guy off the bench. He's got to be one of the most exciting guys off the bench in college basketball. Like, he's just going to do some crazy stuff, and then he's going to do some stuff that makes you scratch your head. But he's ours, and that's all that matters. And it's a lot of fun. So, when you go into a game, when you go into the next game, and you're thinking about Dylan, just understand. If he starts off with the really good spot, you know that the bad's coming. But if he starts off with the bad, you know the good's coming. Both of them are going to happen in every single game. But you just got to come to accept it. Another thing I've come to accept with Auburn is we're just good. They're just good. That's all I could say after the game. Auburn's just good at basketball. They're just, this team's really good. I've been sort of like preparing for a loss. I've been sort of like, I'm for sure, you know, Ole Miss on the road. Like, that'll be the one. Like, you're thinking of when the loss is going to come, but they're just not coming. They just keep getting better. They just keep winning. They just keep sort of flexing on people when they really want to put their foot down. They just do it, and there's not anything really anybody can do about it. I mean, Ole Miss is, I said it earlier, this is a really good basketball team. I mean, a very good basketball team. Another quad one game. They're 23rd in net. They were top 25 AP. I mean, another quad one win for Auburn. I mean, you're at 12-1 right now in quad one wins, and it's just barely February. It's February 1st. After February 1st, Auburn has 12 quad one wins. Now, some of those may drop out. We got to watch teams like Mississippi State. There's a couple that could fall out. So you got to watch those. I mean, that could always happen. But still, 12 game, you've played 13 of those caliber games out of your 21. You've played 21 games. You've won 20 of them. And 13 of those were games deemed quad one games that were the best you can schedule, basically. And you've won 12 out of them, 12 out of 13. It's just absurd. Like, you're looking at the schedule and it's like, dang, man, instead of talking about where's the loss, like, surely it'll be Florida at home. Surely it'll be Vanderbilt on the road. Surely it'll be Alabama on the road. Like, dadgum, man, we may just go. We can win all of them. You can win every one of them. Alabama on the road is going to be tough, but man, as good as this team's playing, it's hard to find the recipe for a loss. It really is. They're just good. Like, the PTSD of Auburn, like, you're expecting the worst eventually. Like, this team's good, man. You just got to go in there, think of it on a week-by-week basis. Hey, we're going to go 2-0 this week. Just go 2-0. You got Oklahoma at home. You got Florida at home. Let's go 2-0. And then move on to the next week, see what happens. I mean, and you get to come home for the next two games, which is great. I feel like, you know, Auburn, I feel like, I don't know this for a fact, but of the SEC games they've played, it feels like Auburn has played the most away games. I think you've played, you're what, 9-0 in conference, 8-0 in conference. Let's see, you're 8-0 in conference, and five of those, I think, have been road games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, you've played 8 conference games, and 5 of them have been road games. And you're 8-0. I mean, road games are not easy. Road games in the SEC are not easy. Road games in the SEC in 2025 are even that much more not easy. The SEC is incredible, and Auburn's just running through it like it's water. It's crazy. It's like it's no resistance whatsoever. So you've had all these road games. You get to come back, and you have two home games back to back. Oklahoma should be able to handle Oklahoma. Florida will be a really good matchup. I can't believe that one's not going to be like prime time. You're going to have, I know that Florida just got blown out by Tennessee, but you got to imagine they're still going to be around a top 10, top 12 team in the country, come time for them to come to Auburn, going to be on prime time at 3:00, but man, another electric atmosphere for Saturday. Thank goodness it's at home. You get two home games. Bam, bam. Let's go 2-0 this week. I think that's just the mentality you got to have every single week. Let's just go 2-0 and see what happens at the end. Next week's going to be tough, but we'll worry about next week when it gets here. Let's go 2-0 this week. And this team, I feel like that's the mindset they have, and they just go out there, and it doesn't matter who they are. They're gonna handle business. They're gonna get it done. So, another big win. Auburn wins by 10, covered the spread against Ole Miss on the road. in front of a just slammed arena. They were bragging about it. They were happy. They were fired up. We're going to take down number one. We've already practiced how you rush the court. I heard an announcer say that. Like they had gone through guidelines about how to rush the court. And you'll have to wait for another time, wait for another chance to do that. Cause Auburn came in to handle business. You didn't get a chance to do that. Hopefully one day you'll get a chance to do that in front of Lane Kiffin. Big recruiting weekend. You did it right in front of all of them. So it was a lot of fun, a great game. And, you know, it's just at some point in time, you just got to understand, hey, we're just good. Auburn's just good. They're just good at basketball, and they're probably going to be favored in every game they play from here on out. So watch the game that way, understanding, hey, it doesn't matter if they're down. They're going to find a way to come back. They're not ever really out of a game. And when another team starts responding, you know it's coming. You know Auburn's going to respond. So they're just a really fun team to watch. Really, really fun team to watch. I think they're going to break the record for most quad one wins in a year. I mean, it's just crazy. They're doing it. They're the toughest SEC ever. You're running through it, and you know you're able to maintain that top ranking. You get that top ranking, and you feel like you belong. Not you're just happy to be there. You're there, and you're defending it. You're doing it well. So, hope you enjoyed the game. We got two this week. Obviously, two home games. It's going to be rowdy. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully, Auburn can extend that winning streak, SEC winning streak, two more games, go to 10-0 in conference, and then sort of you're not necessarily coasting. You got some tough ones coming up, but you just feel better and better about being able to close this thing out and win the conference title headed into March Madness. So, guys, thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. And we'll be back tonight, a live edition. Not sure who will be with us, but we'll have some fun tonight. Probably talk basketball, talk some football, Senior Bowl, Hugh Freeze comments, all that good stuff. So be sure to be around 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we'll go live and have some fun. So, guys, thanks again. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops Podcast.